He laughed at his witticism. Walter Harmon smiled broadly and put out his hand. "Pleasure to meet you. This is one hell of a planet. I've never been here before."
Isk seemed taken aback. "Your enthusiasm is most gratifying. I hope you enjoy your stay."
"Thanks. I say, I tasted some gullertail a year back. Have you got any around here?"
"I'm just going for a walk, get some air," Lewis said.
Down in his memories were a thousand hangovers. He gathered together the phantom sensation of nausea and cranial malaise, then broadcast them into the affinity band.
"It ought to clear my head."
Isk flinched at the emetic deluge.
"Quite. I'd like to try some again. Maybe take back a stock of my own," Walter Harmon prompted. "Old Lewis here can tell you what our ship's rations are like."
"Yes," Isk said. "I believe we have some."
His gaze never left Lewis's back.
"Great! That's just great."
Lewis stepped over the half-meter ridge of electrophosphorescent cells around the pad and headed towards the island's rim. There was one of the floating quays ahead, 20-meter crane to one side for lifting smaller boats out of the water.
"Sorry about this," Lewis told the island personality. "A flight has never had this effect before."
"Do you require a medical mnemonic package?"
"Let's leave it a minute and see. Sea wind always was the best cure for headaches."
"As you wish."
Lewis could hear Walter Harmon chattering away inanely behind him. He reached the metal railing that guarded the rim and stood beside the crane. It was a spindly column and boom arrangement made from monobonded carbon struts, lightweight and strong, but heavy enough for his purpose. He closed his eyes, focusing his attention on the structure, feeling its texture, the rough grain of carbon crystals held together with hard plies of binding molecules. Atoms glowed scarlet and yellow, their electrons flashing in tight, fast orbits. Miscreant energetic pulses raced up and down, the struts sparkling between molecules. He felt the others in the space plane cabin lending their strength, concentrating on a point just below the boom pivot. The carbon's crystalline lattice began to break down. Spears of St. Elmo's fire flickered around the pivot. A tortured creaking sound washed across the rim of the island. Isk looked round in confusion, peering against Pad 18's glare.
"Lewis, move now, please," the island personality said. "Unidentified static discharge on the crane. It is weakening the structure."
"Where?"
He played it dumb, looking round, looking up.
"Lewis, move!"
The compulsion almost forced his legs into action. He fought it with bursts of mystification, then panic. Remembering the power blade as it descended, the sight of blood and chips of bone spewing out of the wound. It hadn't happened to him. It was some horror hollow he was watching on the screen. Distant, remote.
"Lewis!"
Carbon shattered with a sudden thunderclap. The boom jerked, then began to fall, curving down in that unreal slow motion he'd seen once before. And nothing had to be faked any more. Fear staked him to the ground. A yell started to emerge from his lips.
"Mistake, your greatest and your last, Lewis. When this body dies, my soul will be free, and then I can return to possess the living. And when that happens, I will have the same power as you. After that, we shall meet as equals, I promise you."
As the edge of the boom smashed into his torso. There was no pain. Shock saw to that. Lewis was aware of the boom finishing its work, crushing him against the polyp. Body ruined. His head hit the ground with a brutish smack, and he gazed up mutely at the stars. They started to fade.
"Transfer," Pernick ordered.
The mental command was thick with sympathy and sorrow. His eyes closed. Pernick awaited. Lewis saw it through a long dark tunnel, a vast bitech construct, glowing with the gentle emerald aura of life. Colorful phantom shapes slithered below its translucent surface, tens of thousands of personalities, at once separate and in concord. the multiplicity.